right now, I just thank you for the word that you've placed in Peter's spirit, that it will come forth in power that breaks any apprehension over our own lives that tells us that we can't do it. Lord, I pray for open spirits in the congregation, that we would be wide open, ready to receive what you're wanting to say to us, the ministry that you're wanting to do in our hearts, that we'd give you full permission because we've completely surrendered and abandoned ourselves before you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, I've been here 4 years coming up. But, you know, if I walk in presumption and think I've come here to impart all this stuff in everybody else, then I'm walking in presumption, yeah? Because everybody here has taught me over the years. I've been able to grow. For example, we have Dario and Lynn sitting here, two pastors. You need to pick these brains of these guys, because they've been through ministry. They've done the hard yards. They've done stuff. And I honour these guys for who they are here and what they've done here already, even with the funerals and all the other stuff and the things behind the scenes and the working in the cafe, the loving people, you know. Each and every one, I honour Frank and Diane for who they are, you know, for just the loyalty and the faithfulness through the heartache of seeing change. I'm watching Diane in that kitchen learning how to work with people and love on people, you know, through difficult times with non-Christians. And then Frank, watching him, just the dedication, the loyalty, the person who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive with me to Adelaide, didn't have to, you know. Whenever we're away, he's always looking after stuff. How can I help? You know, had to go through some hard stuff. Then we have Ken here, you know, I look through old photos, he's been there all along, old faithful man, you know, been there through the changes and the stuff, you know, goes through his hard stuff like all of us, but, you know, has a heart of gold, has a heart for people, would never go out to hurt people. Then we have Arnie Velder here. Don't look at me like that, Arnie Velder, because you've been a real blessing in this place, you know. You're in that thrift shop, you know, you smile at people all the time. You're just a real blessing to this place. We have Mark here, Mark Jones, who has a love for people. Always probably spends all his money on people, should keep some for himself, but he has a heart of gold. This man has a heart for people, always looking out for people, wherever he goes. Graham Wright. It's been a blessing to have this man alongside of me. What I'm saying is I'm learning off everyone. This guy here, you know, some of the wisdom, you know, some of the quotes he has out of scripture, but the servanthood, he's always looking, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? Peter Shaney. Another faithful man, didn't run away, stayed here, you know, sits in that cafe, always shares things, always there, always being, just growing in God all the time. Sharon, who's only just been here recently, love the prophetic on your life, love talking about that stuff, you know, even on Wednesday, the connection there, hearing who you are. We have Margaret here down the back, you know, another one who invites us around for tea, get to know who you are, you know, and see the love that you have for people. Even Victor down the back is another one who is inquisitive, who's growing, listening, learning. So, you know, if I think that these last 4 years that I'm here to just, I'm going to go and give everybody all this stuff, I'm deceived, because it's not like that. Because I'm growing together. We're all growing. We're all learning, each and every one of us. All growing in the Father. And, you know, I look back... that time in Cairns years ago when I'd done the runner-up there to get away from my old scene. And it was like, I guess like Abraham, there was a call, a faint cry. Peter, come out of that, Peter. So I started looking for churches up there. Now, I didn't believe in God. Nutting off on drugs. But there was a call on my life. There was a call. Anyway, I come back to Melbourne broken, living in a tin shed, and I end up in a church. The last place I would have expected, because I didn't believe in God. So... the thing that blew me away is God loved me all along. You know what I mean? He knew all about me, all my junk, all the stuff, and I'd done a lot of stuff. But each and every one of us, he knows all about us. And he loves us unconditionally. How awesome is that? That's how we get saved, yeah? Because his love goes inside of us. It doesn't matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, because he knows all about us. And he loves everyone unconditionally. And that's what changes people. Because... we know he loves us. But you know what? Once that love starts to get inside us, His character starts to live in us. He wants us to love others. To love others unconditionally. Because that's what he did. You know where he talks about forgiveness, yeah, you know, unless you forgive someone else, and you say, how can I forgive? Well, he did. He wants you to be so healed that when people bring out their bats and swords, I'm talking about with their words, because people hurt people, he wants us to love back. To love back. You see, I was saying before about criticism. You know, I could criticize somebody. I could say something that would cut somebody down and prove that I was right and I was right and you're wrong. Do you know what that would do? It wouldn't help anybody. You know what Jesus wants? Us to be gentle, meekness, kind, loving. Because that's who he is, because that's how we all got saved, didn't we? No one whacked you on the head and said, fix yourself up, you're going to get saved. It didn't work like that. Because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. And it's so beautiful because I know my Father loves me. See, I don't know about you guys, but 29 years old, I was still a little kid. I watch people 70, 80, 60, 50, still little children. Because they've never allowed the Spirit of Christ to get inside and heal their hearts. 29 years old, I was that little kid. Broken, hurt. No one ever told me they loved me. Didn't get invited to Christmas. Didn't get invited to anything because I was a drug addict. But his love started to touch my heart. He told me he loved me right where I was at. And that's each and every one of us. How beautiful is that? And the character of Christ starts to live inside. And once that gets inside, we can start to love others with that same love. Because that's what he wants. That's what life is about. He wants the nature of him to get inside. We can't afford to argue and whack people and say, you're wrong, I'm right, this is what it says here. You know, I'm talking about to Gail this morning about my ex-wife. That's probably why she's ex. But, you know, I used to, because we did not get on at all, I used to say, look what the Bible says. It says it here, read it here. And do you think that's going to help? The wall's gone up further, and it doesn't matter what it said. The pride, the anger, the resentment is not going to let her hear. You see, that's not the way to reach anybody. If we start talking to people like that, you're never going to touch anybody, none of us. That's why the Spirit of Christ has to live inside. You know, sometimes with Gail and I've tried to prove Gail that I'm right, you're wrong. Horrible. But you know what that does? Nothing. It puts a wall up all the more. And you see, you know what I was saying before, the truth is 50% I might be right, but there might be stuff in my heart that I'm wrong. So sometimes, instead of doing that, say, oh, I hear what you're saying, you know, maybe I might be wrong in that area. Have you thought about this? You really be careful how you talk with people, because if you want to win somebody, be careful how you do it, how you say it. Why am I saying that? Because I learned some things I've done lately with that. I've learned that. Now, that's not really my message, but that's what God is speaking to me. Well, it is part of it. Because I heard that voice in Cairns. Peter, church. All my drug addict friends are looking at me. Oh, they're not around. I look in the paper for a church. Why am I looking at churches? How weird is that? You see, he first loved me. He was drawing me by the Spirit. He was drawing me. I wasn't saying, oh, I think I'll be a Christian. Not at all. And I tried to look for a church. I couldn't find it. My friends would come. I went looking one morning, didn't find it. So back to the drink and drugs and all the rest. 6 months later, I end up in Melbourne. I mean, I'm at a doctor's trying to get drugs off him. He's preaching the gospel at me. I end up in church. You know, you don't just do that. You know what I mean? It was God. And it freaks me out because I think of it sometimes. You know, he first loved me. It was his love. And you know, you've heard me say often, I say it often, people are brainwashed. Yeah, people say that all the time. But we all are. It's either the Spirit of God living inside you, who starts to actually transform you from all the stinking thinking and all the junk that we have in the world that keeps us caught up in all the old mindsets and the hurts. Because see, the enemy's been sowing stuff in our lives for years that we think we're useless, we think we're junk, we think, oh, I've done this, and the enemy will come in and start speaking and telling, you're no good, you're no good. But you know what the Father says? I love you. I love you. And the more he says that, the more you get transformed and you start to realize who God is. God's not wanting to whack you. He's wanting to set you free. He's wanting to give you hope, future, and life. You know, as children, we live based on the words that are spoken over us. First 5 years of your life you've heard is foundational. You've got nothing else to listen to except the words that are spoken. So you've just come out, you're born, you're learning all this stuff, good or bad. You get negative stuff put on you, it's going to come out somewhere. You have to have positive stuff. You look at Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament. Now, they both knew that they needed the father's blessing over them. The father had to speak a blessing over them. So what did Jacob do? He was a deceiver and he tried to steal that blessing from his brother. But they both got the blessing nevertheless. But they had words spoken over them about, you know, goodness, success, all the stuff they were going to do. You know, but in our Australian society, a lot of the parents will turn around and say, not everyone, but parents can do this. Even good parents can still get stuff come across, you know, why did you do that? You know, you're not going to amount to nothing. That stuff can happen. I was reading a book the other day about these three different children in a family. Now, the parents love the children, but one child, I'll say her name was Jenny, they turned around and said, when their friends come around for tea, oh, have you met Jenny? She's so good. She's going to do so well in life. She's so good. She gets all the grades, gets really good grades when she goes to school, all of that. So they're really bragging on her. And then the middle one, they're saying, oh, Julie, we don't know. Julie's very clumsy. She makes mistakes all the time. You know, everything she does is wrong. You know, she makes a lot of mistakes. And then their third one, the youngest, little David, is saying, little David, we love little David too. We love them all. But little David just is not very good in his grades. He's not going to go very well. He'll probably have to end up getting a labourer's position in life. Now, maybe leave school early. What is that? They've just been set up. The oldest one has been set up to go forward. Everyone's been set up for failure. We really need to be careful with words, is what's been spoken over us. Did you know it's an absolute fact that we live our grown-up lives based on the words spoken over us as children until we come to faith? Can't not. If you've been told stuff about yourself as a child, you'll start to live that out and it'll come alive in you, and everywhere you go you'll believe it and you'll live it, and people will see that about you. When people say to me Christians are brainwashed, it shows you that they don't even know that they've been brainwashed also, because I hear it all the time. Oh, you Christians are brainwashed. Of course I'm brainwashed by the King. I've been heartwashed. He's been changing me. You see, people actually think that they are the way they are based on their own thought processes. You know, you hear people say, oh, you know, I do my own thing, I do what I want. Oh, no, you don't. You do what you've been programmed to do. You see, the world programs people. When the Holy Spirit comes, he gets inside, the Spirit of God gets inside and starts to delete all that stuff off the hard drive of your mind, off your life. You get that word inside. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You allow that word to get in and become alive in you and kill all that junk, all that stinking thinking that was in the computer of your hard drive. In the book As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, read this book the other day, brilliant book, he says, a particular train of thought persisted in, be it good or bad, cannot fail to produce its results on the character and circumstances. So what you're thinking, it cannot fail to produce the results on the character and circumstances. A man cannot directly choose his circumstances, but instead he can choose his thoughts. And so indirectly, yet surely, shape his circumstances. You hear that? The thoughts you believe about yourself will shape your circumstances. So if you believe, I'm no good, I'm useless, I can't do this, can't, guess what? You won't. You can't allow negative stuff in. That's why you need to get the Word of God inside that starts to speak life, hope, purpose, destiny, future. Get that Word in. And when you experience the love of Christ, you don't want to be anywhere else. It's why he loves me. You see, in the world, nobody really loved me. Seriously. I was the drug addict, the drug dealer. I didn't really have any love. But when the Father loved me after all the stuff I'd done, no wonder I bawled my eyes out for about 12 months, just cried and cried as he's healing me. I love you, son. I love you. Wow. And the purpose is to get his character in us so we can love everyone else. The nature of Christ living in us. You see, our mind is just like a computer. We store up information that we've been told about ourselves as children because it's been wired into our subconscious. It's been wired in. You get stuff inside that you believe about yourself and you don't even realize or remember where it's come from, but it's come from your childhood. It's come from the foundations, foundational years. That's why we need to get Christ as a foundation, him living inside to bring life. That's why Jesus said we must be born again. The Holy Spirit begins to delete the hard drive of stuff that has had us living below the awesome life he has for us. And he transforms us as our Father God's love starts to live on the inside of us. The love of God starts to live on the inside. You know, I was talking about 29, I was still a little child, full of hurt, full of pain. And the truth is some people die at 21, but get buried at 67 when they retire. Some people let their dreams and their life and the stuff they believe about them die because of what the world's told them, because they've been defined by what people have said about them. So they let their stuff die at 21 and then get buried at 67. Oh, I've retired, that's it. Many people have 20/20 sight but have no vision. I don't want to do that. I want vision, purpose. I want to believe everything God said. You see, people perish without a vision. In life, we need to be God's winners because winners never quit. Don't be a quitter because quitters will never win. Don't give up. When you get that word inside and God says, I see you as someone special, purpose, I see who you are, do not stop believing who God sees you as. Have you ever heard people say, I looked for God, I tried, but nothing happened? I think we all have. You know, you tell people, oh, I've tried that, nothing happened, he's not real, he didn't care about me. Seriously, it's the same with life. I hear people say, I tried to change, I tried to learn something, but it didn't work. I tried. Trying and believing and stepping in and never quitting is a different thing. They gave up without really seeking out, looking and searching. And I use that scripture all the time lately. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Stop. Don't stop searching. Don't stop looking. Don't stop believing. Don't stop pressing in. Don't stop going for your dreams. Jeremiah 29:13, and we all know it, says, when you seek God with all of your heart, the word says with all of your heart, not oh, I tried and he wasn't there, because the word says all of your heart. When you seek God with all of your heart, what shall you do? You'll find him. Not might find him, you will find him. When you seek God with all of your heart, when you seek him out, I can guarantee you 100% he'll be there for you. The problem is people aren't really wanting to change. They're looking for an excuse why they won't and why they can't change. I hear people do that. You know, I can't. Well, yes, you can. All of us can. When you have a dream, if all you do is just dream, then that's all you'll ever have. I tried, but it was just too hard. I tried, but it was too hard. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. James Allen, in the book As a Man Thinketh, says a noble and godlike character is not a thing of favour or chance. It's not a thing of favour or chance, but it is a natural result of continued effort in right thinking. Right thinking. You see, if the enemy is condemning you, saying, oh, don't listen to this, I can't do this, don't believe any of it, because you can. The word of God is true. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God lives inside. Allow the spirit to get inside and bring life. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. When I was first born again positionally, I had an inheritance. Positionally, I had it. Positionally, all that junk, all that mindset stuff, I was going to go, but positionally I already had the promises. But unless I sought out matters, unless I got his word living on the inside of me, I would never have changed. Unless I actually seeked him out with all my heart, I would never change. I would sit there, yes, yeah, saved and all the rest, but the inheritance would never have been mine. Timothy 2:15 tells me that I must study diligently to see myself approved. If not, all I would have been like is the prodigal's brother who I talked about last week. The prodigal's religious brother, yeah, he was in the kingdom, in the father's household, but he could never access the inheritance because he never understood, because he never sought out for himself, how do I get that inheritance from this mindset into my heart, into my spirit? How do I get all the things that God has called me to be and do? How often I hear people dream about who they're going to be, but they fail to put the time in to all they can to become what they believe they're called to be. It's easy to dream. It's easy to say, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. But there's more to it. And it's exciting. It's exciting when you realize, hey, God says I can do this, and I can. You see, I remember when I was a drug addict, because I had a lot of money from trafficking, I had an idea I was going to start a business, plastering and concreting. You can laugh at this, because this is just ludicrous. The things, see, my mind was messed up. I had no idea about plastering or concreting. And you know what I did? I talked a drug addict friend of mine into being a partner with me. I said, you want to do this? We can do this. We don't need to learn. We'll just go and we'll do it. So I put an ad in the paper. The phone went nuts. People were ringing me for quotes all over the place. No idea what I'm doing. Here's the bad part. I finally took this old couple's place I went to, and they wanted their roof fixed because it was all wobbly. So we've gone around there. Yeah, we can fix that. We got out, I forget what it was, some sort of saw, cut a section out of their roof. Now, the whole roof was wobbly. We put this piece in, had a bit of finishing plaster, and we're trying to plaster it up. The roof was still wobbly. That bit was shoved in there. I had no idea what I was doing. I think I was so embarrassed. And anyway, I called a plastering friend of mine to actually fix it. And he came around and fixed it. That was the end of that. Obviously, you know, but here was my mindset. Oh yeah, I can just go and do this. Plastering, you know, 4-year trade, I don't need that stuff. Concrete, I can do that, don't need this stuff. I can learn that as I go. And I watch people do that all the time. I talk to people that come in here and say, I'm going to be this and that, okay, so what goals you put in? No, you know, I'm just going to do that. Doesn't work like that. You know, I hear people just like that all the time. Ideas of doing and being without studying diligently to get where it is they want to go. I recall a lady, it's about 10 years ago now, a friend of Gail of mine, who came around our house. We'd known her for years, still know her. And she's sitting around our house and she bought a Woman's Weekly, a new idea, I can't remember what it was, and she's reading it, sitting there. And all of a sudden she drops this out. I'll never forget it. She said to me, I'm waiting for my ministry, for God to call me into my ministry. And it struck me, I thought, lady, you're in your 60s. It doesn't matter what time, because we can do it, but there was no preparation. It was like God was just going to drop it out the sky. Here it is, I've arrived now, I'm going to start doing ministry. There's a whole character shaping, there's a preparation, there's an understanding, there's going researching, going understanding. Okay, so whatever it is, if you're called to whatever it is, a ministry, you know, you're called in life to be a doctor, common sense, you're going to actually have to learn and do some research and study to actually get there. Prayerfully believing, knowing that God is going to bring you through, but you don't just go in and do it. Doesn't work like that. God does not just drop it out the sky, here it is, you've got no understanding or anything, I'm just going to give it to you. You get a prophetic word over your life, God says he's going to do something. Research it out, hang with people that are actually going that way. When I came to faith, became born again, positionally there was an inheritance waiting for me. But in order to access this inheritance, I needed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need to have my mind renewed from all the stinking thinking of people saying, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you won't, you'll never amount to anything, who are you, you're just Peter. You need to allow the Spirit of God to transform you. I remember my first big failure as a Christian. The church plant that my pastor let me start. Now, I'm not blaming the pastor, but he should have known more. See, understanding I had no mentoring, no training. I just loved Jesus. I loved people. But even though I had a passion to see people saved, I had no education on financial matters, how to be a good manager, how to pastor, how to run a church. How could I expect to mentor someone if I had not been mentored myself? Oh, yeah, go and plant this church. Okay. So we found a building. I'm out there. No idea. Never preached in my life. Never knew anything about anything. Now, to me, that's craziness. I was an accident waiting to happen. Because before that, you know, I nearly went bankrupt, lost my house, lost everything. I learned some hard lessons. But I learned about life, not that I want to go through that ever again. I learned about financial matters. I learned about things. I learned about people. I learned a lot of stuff. But my financial mind then had not been renewed. See, I still had the same old mindset that I had in the drug culture. Okay, I was a Christian, I was saved. But for me, money was money. If I had it, it's gone, straight out of my hands. Gone, lost it. Yeah, I tithed, but I had no idea about anything. The more money I had, the more money I could spend. I had no idea about good stewardship. Eventually, I nearly went bankrupt. Close. I don't even want to tell you about my business running Peter's Lawn and Garden Care business. I had a lot of schemes up in those days. I'm just telling you, you don't do these things. If you want to actually learn and grow, if you've got a passion for something, then go for it, but learn, research, hang around with people that are actually going in that direction. The bottom line is each and every one of us has a God-given dream instilled in our heart, but we have to know and understand and research. You see, we have a gold mine between our ears. Did you know that? That word of God, when you get it inside, you've got a gold mine sitting there. We just need to know how to access it. If we don't learn how to renew our mind in order to access that gold mine, then our dream will just become a fanciful wish. Many people die at 21 but get buried in retirement at 67. The cemetery is filled with unfulfilled dreams. There's a lot of people that out there that I'm sure who in glory now, some not in glory. If only. I don't want to do that. I want to find out all that God has for me and go for it. You know, I believe some people actually like receiving unemployment checks. You know why I believe that? Because they've been told that's who they are. That's defined them. You know, so they're used to that. Now, I know there's not workaround, so I'm not saying that, but I'm saying some people have been used to living like that. They never look to better themselves. They think this is all there is in life, this is all I'm good for, and they live a life of idleness. Because they've been taught to live like that, not understanding there's so much more. So much more. Did you know idleness is dangerous? Is it a sure thing to get in trouble? Being idle. Let's take a look at King David in the Old Testament. Here he was a king, yeah? Now he used to go out to war with the rest of the Israelites against the Philistines, go out to battle. But when he stopped doing that and became idle, what happened? He fell in sexual sin. And then he went and murdered the husband and murdered the whole legion as well to hide his sin. Idleness causes trouble. Today we see many in our nation that sleep until midday, live in idleness, demand their rights to be fed, to get their money and complain about everything. Doesn't 2 Thessalonians 3:10 say something about if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat? Could you imagine if everyone said Monday morning, I'm staying home from work and sleeping in? Could you imagine if we all said that? Each and every one of us. You know what would happen? There'd be no electricity, there'd be no petrol, there'd be no food, there'd be no nothing. Everything would shut. But some people do it. I might sleep in. Now I want my rights. We need to get and be productive and start to do stuff and find out your dreams, find out your goals. Because at the end of the day, you're going to turn around one day and say, what happened? You see, winners never quit and quitters never win. Don't be a quitter. Let's be a winner. Let's be a whole group of winners here. There's dreams right through this place. Doesn't matter what age we are, Auntie Velda. Doesn't matter anything about all of us. You've got dreams there. You're a blessing to people. You sit in there and smile at people. You know how many times you bless people in that place? In there? Society would shut down in a big hurry. That's what we have. But that's what we have created in the minds of many. See, people need each other. That's why our life needs to be about others, not self. We need each other. I need people around me. I can't do it alone. We need each other. That's why Scripture gives us a key. And it's better to give than to receive. See, we need to learn to be givers. We need to learn to bless others. You want to lead a remarkable life? Learn to give up to help others. Even when you see someone coming in a door, open the door for them. We need to be able to bless others, to be givers. But idleness has caused drug problems, alcoholism, crime, disrespect, and out-and-out rebellion. That's what idleness does. When we sit around and do nothing, trouble happens. You know, we only need to look at our work for the Dole people here. They come here and they feel a sense of worth again. I see it. They come in this place and there's excitement, there's alive, there's a buzz in them. Because, you know what? Because we just love them where they're at. We befriend them, don't we, Diane? Don't we, Gail? Don't we, Dario and Lynn? Everyone that comes in here. We just love the people that come in. And we find a sense of worth in them that actually gives them hope. You know why? Because we've been designed that way. We're wired for work. Life is about serving others, serving our fellow man. You know, you look at Cain in the book of Genesis. Did you know what Cain means? Cain and Abel, you know Cain killed Abel. Cain means acquisition. Acquisition, because he wanted it all for himself. He wanted to get rid of Abel so he could get the parents' inheritance, Adam and Eve. This earth is mine. You've got to go, Abel. You're in the way. Cain meant acquisition. He wanted to acquire everything for himself. But if you look further on, now it says he took a wife. Now I'm presuming Adam and Eve had more children, because he took a wife and then he had Enoch and they built a city. And you know what Enoch means? Education. Because I believe that he learnt that he needed other people. You see, so when he had an education, he had Enoch and he got other people around him in this city. We need others. We need each other. Society needs each other. You see, there's greatness in every one of us. We just need to access the gold mine between our ears. There's greatness in us. Don't be defined by what other people tell you. Listen to the Word of God. Get the Spirit of God in you. He loves you. He's crazy about everyone. Bible says every hair on your head's numbered. They're not just words. That's truth. That's supernatural truth that we need to get in our spirit and realize, hey, God loves us. I love Jim Rohn's quote. He says, readers are leaders, and leaders are readers. Think about it. You want to be a leader? Read. Grow. Start to look at things. Start to read stuff. Get it in your spirit. Stuff that you have a passion about. Stuff that inspires you. Read it and get it inside. And then it says, leaders are readers. Well, think about that. You know when you've got a water pump and you're trying to pump water and it's really hard. You know, the old days they used to have those pump, pump, pump. They're trying to get that water. And so they're pumping harder and harder and harder, trying to get water out of this pump. And once they get that pump flowing, it becomes easy. Because it says then, leaders are readers. So you're a leader and you're still reading, but that pump is a lot easier to push now because you're already a leader, but you keep reading to keep growing, to keep getting that stuff in your spirit. So again, whatever your passion is, whatever you get a passion to want to do in life, read about it. Get around people who are going the same way. Or the scripture I keep on harping on about recently, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. So God does conceal matters. You know, when people say, oh, I sought him, seek me with all your heart, I looked for him but I couldn't find him. God conceals things. But when you look with all your heart, you find him, because it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. So winners are never quitters. So it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. So when you start searching stuff out, I'll guarantee you God will open the door and start to show you. Don't be like the prodigal's religious brother who had an inheritance but did not know how to access it. Tap into the gold mine between your ears. Whatever it is you're called to be the best at it. Be the best at it. Whatever you're called to be the best. Visualize it, dream it, but study for it. Spend your time with people that already have it. People who have already possessed it. If you spend your time with dream stealers or people that tell you that you can't, then simple, stop spending time with them. If you've got dream stealers around you telling you no, you can't, get away from them. You don't need them. I don't mean don't love people out there because there's broken people everywhere, but if people are trying to steal your dreams and stop you from going forward, then get away from them. If you spend your time with drug addicts or alcoholics, then it's common sense that it's highly possible that you'll end up becoming like the ones you spend your time with. I don't care who we are, you spend your time doing that, you'll be one. Even if you're not a drug user or an alcoholic, you'll eventually become like the ones you spend all your time with. Doesn't matter who you are. I've watched it time and time again. People say, I accept Christ as my Lord and Saviour, but I'm still going to spend time with my old crowd. And eventually Jesus just becomes a distant friend in the background because they've fallen away. spend time with that old crowd, that's what's going to happen. The other one I see often is people who claim to want to live for Jesus, but they want to spend time in their old friendships because they still like their sin. I see that. When the Bible makes it clear that sin leads to death, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 makes it very clear. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of us. You can't afford to spend time with people that are going to steal your dreams and rob you and rip you off. Get in the presence of God. Stay around Him. If you follow your dreams and go for the gold mine between your ears, then nothing will be impossible for you. You see, there's no excuses for us. But do we really want to change? What makes people set apart and successful in life? Dreams. Dreams and setting goals to fulfill their dreams. You see, there was a man, Glenn Cunningham. When he was a boy, he had badly burned legs in a fire, and his legs were weak and never fully recovered, and yet he had a dream to be a champion runner. He became what was said the fastest runner in history in the mile race. How did he do this? He had a dream. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Helen Keller was an American author, political activist, and lecturer. But what was so special about her? She was the first deaf, blind person to gain a Bachelor of Arts degree. How did she do this? Winners never quit, and quitters never win. What about Thomas Edison, who had 10,000 failures before he had success in inventing the electric light bulb? How did he do this? Winners never, and quitters never. What about Colonel Sanders? He was washed up and finished at 64 years of age. He was going to commit suicide. Instead, he had a dream of how his now world-famous Kentucky Fried Chicken. He went to door-to-door selling his Kentucky Fried Chicken. Today, this is a billion-dollar industry. 64, he was going to commit suicide. Henry Ford didn't build his first Ford engine until he was 48 years old. Do you think Nick Vujicic, who has no arms or legs, just said, "It's too hard, I think I'll just quit"? No, he knew that winners never quit and quitters never win. He had the right attitude about life, and today he's reached millions with the gospel. He had the right attitude. Here's a man with no arms or legs. Plenty to be depressed about, but it's attitude. Walt Disney was told he was a failure and his dream would never make it, but he never wavered from his dream. You know why? Because Walt Disney didn't have a dream, his dream had him. You need to let the dreams have you. You need to get in there and start believing and start trusting and start speaking out and seeking God with all your heart, but growing in the stuff that you're called to be. The American Civil Rights famous saying from Martin Luther King was, King that everyone remembers was, "I have a dream." What is your dream? And are you setting goals to achieve that dream? Don't go through life complaining. Change your attitude and everything else will change. It's attitude. Change your attitude, everything else will change. People say Christians are brainwashed, and we are, that's true. So is everyone else. But we've chosen to follow and live for the Creator of the universe. How awesome is that? The Creator of the universe loves us. Really get an understanding of that. God, the Creator, actually loves us and is crazy about us. Every hair on our head is numbered, precious in His sight. He's washing our brain, cleansing us from all the stinking thinking of this world, because we have the mind of Christ. See, let the mind of Christ sit inside you. Get that mind of Christ in. Get that junk out. When that negative stuff comes, that negative talk, don't sit in the devil's counseling session and start believing all that stuff when the enemy tells you you're no good. Don't listen to that stuff. Get the Word of God in so it becomes so alive in you that nothing else matters. What an exciting journey. If you don't know Jesus, then you need to ask Him in your heart. I presume we all do here. When you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Draw near to Him. He draws near to you. How do I do that? Start speaking from your heart to Him. Tell Him. You see, He already knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. That's the beauty of it. And He still loves us. He will change everything. He will give you a hope and a future as well as eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. We need to choose life. We need to choose Jesus. Thank you.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me.
Lost and in chains, the world had a hold.
My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame.
Covered in shame, I was covered in shame.
When he came for me.
Figure those words, when he came for me, I was covered in shame.
Couldn't run from his presence.
How beautiful is that? Thank you.
Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the
beautiful is that. Loves us unconditionally. Love me in my shame. Love me where I was at. It's only his love that actually transformed me. It's only his love that ever changed me. It's only his love. And that character needs to live inside us. His love, his presence, his goodness, his truth. Don't whack people, let's love on them. Not saying we do. But I've learnt that over the years. You want to reach people? Start finding out who they are. Listen to them. Often, that's probably why I like getting up here. Sometimes people want to tell me something and I'm talking to them instead of them trying to talk to me and tell me stuff. We need to listen to people. Need to affirm people. Really, we want to reach people with the love of Christ. I still need to change a lot of ways of my thinking. God is so good. Father, I just thank you for your love and your blessing on each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you're crazy about us. I thank you, Lord, that they're not just words, that every hair on our head is numbered, that we're precious in your sight. Jesus, we just want more of you, more of your presence, more of the excitement of all the things you have for us, more of the goals and the dreams that you put in each and everyone's heart. Lord, the ones that have been broken and shattered and we said it's too late. No, it's not. God is saying it's still there. The plans, the purposes that he has for you. Father, I thank you. I pray your plan, your purpose, your destiny for each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you that we're going to be with you forever one day. Amen.